Some big news coming down today. Mark Pope made it official. He will be headed to Kentucky. Some other news that's coming down where BYU basketball players jumping in the portal. Dallin Hall has actively made it everybody aware that he will be jumping into the portal. And it's a tough situation for BYU basketball. They've got to find their guy and try to settle everything down as quickly as they can. Tim Lacombe, former BYU assistant coach with Dave Rose and current pre-, half-, and post-game show host with the Utah Jazz. He's going to join us here in about 20 minutes, and we are going to jump deep into this, talking about the BYU coaching search and some of the prospects that might be out there, because it is one of the bigger stories. BYU basketball overachieved, and nobody wants to see it fall off the cliff, and they've got to make a move pretty quickly to make sure that they shore that thing up. The NBA is really interesting right now. I know with the Utah Jazz out of the picture, maybe Jazz fans have dropped out and aren't paying as close attention to what's happening in the West. But Kurt Heelan, the best NBA insider, in my opinion, joins us now to give us some thoughts. Kurt, what kind of positioning are we going to see from Denver and Minnesota to make sure they don't have to see Golden State or the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round of the NBA playoffs?
That's a good question. Denver's pretty much locked up. Well, we rephrase that. They control their own destiny to get the number one seed. They just have to win out. And they want that, well, for obvious reasons, man. They only get to be home, but like, they've got that mile-high advantage for teams that come in. So they've pushed for this. You could see it. You could really see it in the Minnesota-Denver game when I was at Wednesday night, where they really went at each other. Like, you could tell this game mattered. And you could also tell Denver would make some dangerous hands. They just have a gear, right? Like, they just have a gear that nobody else gets to, certainly in the West and maybe in the NBA.
They've got a gear and they've got a guy who it looks like he's going to repeat as an MVP. Is that how you're feeling?
Yeah, my ballot has him on the top. It's kind of weird. Like, it was so preordained, and it's funny. I was texting with Tim Bontemps, who sets up the straw poll, and I'm like, it almost makes me want to. I spent time like, I've got to find, can I find, or not got to, but can I find a way to make it Shea or make a Luka? And there's certainly good cases for either of them. And at the end of the day, I kept coming back to it, and it's Jokic for MVP. So yeah, he's got my vote this year. He's going to go number one, and I would expect he's going to win by a margin that's larger than I think how people, at least the voters I talk to, like, view it. Like, everybody's kind of come around to that, but it's not like it's going to look like a runaway where I don't think it was that in my mind.
So for those of you that aren't familiar with the NBA play-in system, it was put into place back in COVID era, and it has remained. And the way they play in is they take the 7, 8, 9, and 10 seed. They play the 7 and 8 seed. The winner of that, it's a one and done. You're locked into the 7. The loser of that plays the winner of the 9 and 10 seed, which is right now Golden State and the Los Angeles Lakers, and the winner of that locks in at the 8 seed. Right now, it would be the Phoenix Suns versus the Sacramento Kings and the Warriors versus the Lakers. First of all, Kurt, do you see it that way? Do you think that those teams kind of hold court? And how do you see the 7 and 8 seeds locking in that play-in situation?
I think Phoenix is pretty locked into 7. I don't think New Orleans. They're gonna need help, and they would need help from the Lakers on Sunday to knock New Orleans back to them. But those last three spots, Golden State, if they win out, which they can and maybe should, if they can win out, Sacramento loses their next two games, then they can get all the way up to 8. And if nothing else, if they win out, they hold on to 9. They've got the tiebreaker now with the Lakers after beating them the other night. So I just got a feeling Sacramento's so bad lately that they're just kind of coming apart at the seams that they're going to slip back, and one of those two teams will pass them. The Lakers have the easy game tonight. They've got Memphis. They should win that. And then they've got the Pelicans on Sunday in a game where both of those teams could really have something to play for. And if they do, that's going to – those are the fun ones, right? You get to Sunday and, like, what are the two or three games we're going to get where both teams have something on the line?
Okay, so if the Kurt Heelan Californians were getting ready to play the Golden State Warriors or the Los Angeles Lakers, which one in a seven-game series would you less want to see?
Ooh. Avoiding the how my team is, you know, the Kurt Heelan Californians obviously would be so stacked it doesn't matter. Like, we would just crush everyone. It depends a little on how your team is built, but honestly, I think I'd rather – the Warriors are playing better basketball right now. They have figured out who they are. I think they're playing at a little bit of a higher level. That said, I don't know that I just – the Lakers are so big and so physical, and with LeBron and Anthony Davis, you're going to go six games against them, and you're going to be beat up at the end of it. So I think I'd rather play the Warriors, who just – aren't that same level of physicality. Because I just feel like if you beat the – even if you get the Lakers, you're going to come out of that one banged up. Anthony Davis is going to make your life difficult. LeBron's going to beat LeBron for enough games that it's just – that's going to be a lot of work to beat them.
Have you gotten any word on Karl Anthony Towns being back for the postseason with the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Yeah, in fact, they're hoping – and I haven't seen an update in the – I haven't looked in the last hour, but he was expected to play tonight. So – if he's back tonight, that makes them obviously that much more dangerous. They want to get him a game or two before the playoffs start, just to get him some conditioning and get his legs under him. But they're going to need him to make any kind of run. They just need his. Once you get to the playoffs, it becomes about your second option and your third option in particular. Like, you know, we can a good defend in the West. It's so deep. The best teams are going to take away your first offensive option. They are going to make life difficult for whatever they decide to take away. And you've got to have options two and ultimately option three to really make it work. Even if you've got Jokic and he's going to do what he does, like, you've still got to have Aaron Gordon put in buckets for them or Jamal Murray, yeah. Right? And I just – Minnesota needs Karl Anthony Towns if they're going to have that guy.
Well, you know, I would think that it would take some time, but I – was watching a bit of the Philly-Detroit game the other night, and I'm watching Joel Embiid, and I'm like, well, I was only watching it, just parts of it, out of interest of Joel Embiid. I watched a highlight package on YouTube because I wanted to see how Joel Embiid looked, because I think if Embiid's healthy, I think all of a sudden Philly becomes a real problem in East. And so I'm watching Embiid, and his return has been magnificent. I mean, he was amazing against Detroit.
That's good, because I was afraid you were watching it for the Jalen Duren highlights, and then I was
definitely not interested. I'm not interested in the back and forth between him and Metu or him and Duren. It's not. I have no interest in that.
No, very good. No, I think you're spot on though. In an East where, I mean, who scares you right now? Milwaukee's too, but they're lost three in a row, and Giannis is banged up, and they just haven't been playing well. Period. Cleveland doesn't scare you. The Knicks are playing better, and they're getting guys back, but they won't have Randall, and they're really still a guy short. Like, out of everybody you look at in the East, you're suddenly like, yeah, I don't want to see Philly. I mean, if Embiid can get back, I think they might be the second-best team right now. In fact, if he hadn't had the meniscus injury, they might be the number two seed. They were certainly in that mix before they went, I think, 11-18 while he was out. And he was playing like an MVP and might have been in that. He might be the guy who repeated. So I think they're a real threat. And I can tell you for sure, like, you know, Boston doesn't want to see them. Like, Boston's locked into that one seed, but they're like, man, Philly, you got to find a way to get the seven seed. And Philly's got to be looking at it that way, too. Like, you don't want Boston in the first round. As good as Philly is, that's the one team they want to avoid for a while. If they get Milwaukee, especially if Giannis isn't 100%, yeah, they got a puncher's chance at least, if not more.
Yeah, and that looks like that very well could be the matchup. I mean, they all know, can they catch the Pacers and move out of the play-in? I'm talking about the 76ers?
Yes, but, and I'm going to forget it. I'm not looking at this, my notes off the top of my head, but I believe the Pacers have to lose out and they have to win out or something like that, like, because Pacers have the tiebreaker, so they need they need a little help. But yes, on paper, they can.
How good of basketball is the Dallas Mavericks playing right now?
I think they're the second best team in the West. I think I said that to you guys, but you before.
Yeah.
They're two. A, Luka Doncic is Luka Doncic, and Kyrie Irving has been a model citizen and, like, you know, look, unbelievable handles. Like, still got the best handles, maybe the best shot creation in the game. He's so smooth. But what's really made the difference is they went and got Daniel Gafford, a more steady. Lively is going to be the rookie is going to be a really good player, but he's a rookie. Gafford's a kind of solid veteran playing that same role who's just a little more steady right now. Between the two of them and then putting Derrick Jones Jr. into the starting lineup, that gave them the defense they needed. And Luka, I think what Luka can do that makes him so great, and it's the thing that makes Jokic so great, is like you look at the talent around them. Like, Aaron Gordon's a good player, don't get me wrong, and KCP and all those guys and Jamal Murray. But they look great next to Jokic. And Luka does that with, like, yeah, Derrick Jones Jr. isn't the best offensive player in the world, but he's going to get some really clean looks and hit some shots because of just Luka's gravity and vision.
Well, Kurt, I could talk to you for hours, really. Appreciate your insight. Always appreciate your professionalism. And let's go, man. It's NBA playoffs or bust right now.
Yeah, it starts to get really fun. Well, even this weekend, Sunday's going to be fun. And then starting next week, it gets really interesting. And I'm, by the way, if you need me, Hans, I am here for all your hockey talk, too. I used to play, and I barely get to follow it because it's in basketball season. So, like, every once in a while, I'm like, how are my Kings doing, man? I haven't looked at a while.
Well, next time we have you on, we'll just do all NHL postseason talk and see how they correlate. We'll just.
Yeah, exactly. I still have great stories of getting together with, it was basically me and the entire Canadian media group taking over a corner of a sports bar in San Antonio when they were in the final. I guess it was in 24 when the Kings won the championship, won the Stanley Cup, and we made them turn off like UT spring football on one TV so we could watch Stanley Cup final.
Oh my gosh. Can we just get one of the 45 TVs?
Can we just this corner over here? Can you put it on a couple screens?
I love it, Kurt. Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Take care.
There you go, Kurt Heelan. Nobody does it better. NBC Sports Talk. He is just fantastic at his job. We will take a quick break. We'll come back. We're live at Tim Daly Mazda here in Southtown. If you need a vehicle, you heard Jake on with us just minutes ago, and Jake said that he's going to do two things. Number one, if you've got a trade-in, he's going to tack $2,000 on top of the value of that trade-in. So whatever that thing Blue Book's at, whatever you think you could sell it at, bring it in. They're going to take a look at it. They're going to tack $2,000 on the trade-in, whether you buy or not. So they're going to put that $2,000 on there. And if you decide to get in a new car with Tim Daly Mazda, they're going to take $2,000 off the top of that car and that price. That's a $4,000 swing. If you've got the trade-in and you're looking for a vehicle, it's a $4,000 swing. There's a reason that Tim Daly Mazda is just killing it. These guys just take care of you. I bought a couple cars from Jake and Chris and Tyler out here at Tim Daly Mazda, and I'll buy my next five cars from them. They find the exact look, the make, whatever need that you've got. If you need towing, if you need extra third row, if you need storage, if you need better gas mileage, they're going to find the car that fits you and take time with you and make sure that the price point fits you. That's Tim Daly Mazda here in Southtown. Come down and say hi. Tim Lacombe, he joins us next to talk about this Mark Pope situation. BYU is in a grinder right now. Former BYU assistant and current Utah Jazz pre, half, and post analyst Tim Lacombe joins us next.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Sell me on Mark Pope. Give me a 30-second spiel that the athletic director at Kentucky is selling to fans.
He plays a very modern style of basketball that I think will succeed at Kentucky.
Can I tell you, I think that is the number one thing? Other than I know he has the connections, and look, if Mark Pope hadn't played at Kentucky, he never gets this job. He's not even in consideration for this job. But he does have that history. He was a former captain. He did play in the NBA. All those things are pluses. All those things, I think, help. His style of basketball is really conducive to NBA players. He shoots a ton of threes, which is where the NBA is going. And then he already runs some pro sets. We talked a lot about how good that dribble handoff stuff was that nobody in the Big 12 ever figured out how to defend. So I actually think that is the biggest thing, and that could be what ends up winning over fans in Kentucky, is what it looks like to have an actual basketball coach and not a recruiter.
Here, Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Just watching this Masters coverage as it continues. I do love the Masters. Man, oh, it's such an entertaining. This is one of those golfing events I really could just sit there in a dark room, and I could probably watch 6-7 hours of coverage of it, headed from Thursday all the way through the final round on Sunday. John Rahm's not doing me any favors. Last year's champion, currently at +3. Right now, the cut line is projected at +4. So you've got a couple of guys right under the cut line. Jason Day at +4. Hideki Matsuyama at +4. John Rahm at +3. Tony Finau's struggled a little bit today. He's +4 through his round today, and he's +3 on the tournament. He was 1-under through his first day, so he's struggling. A couple of guys that probably aren't going to make the cut, and I hate to tell Lloyd Cole this, but it's looking like one of your golfers isn't going to make the cut. Victor Hovland is really struggling.
Yeah, you're celebrating on the inside. I wish you didn't. I wish you didn't root against me all the time. Like it'd make me feel. The way you root against me is just like, I just need some good things to go my way every once in a while. You know, I deserve it.
Well, the good news is Jordan Spieth is not going to make the cut either, and so that'll bring Scotty down. Right now, all of my golfers above the cut line. However, not real high above, but they are above. We got to get into this because this has been obviously the big storyline of the day, and a guy with the insight that can help us cover this better than anybody in the state of Utah. Tim Lacombe, former BYU assistant coach. Coach Lacombe, how much did this catch you off guard? When it felt like it trickled down. It went through 2-3 different offers to other coaches, and then it landed on Mark Pope's lap. How much did this surprise you?
Well, it's, you know, knowing the backstory is kind of interesting. I mean, worked with Mark for 4 years and, you know, had a lot of conversations, and this is that one job. I mean, that this is the one job that, you know, we all talked about what our dream job would be. And he always kind of got stars in his eyes talking about Kentucky. And I've said all along that he would coach there. Just because I know his drive and his passion, and he really will stop at nothing to get what he wants. And I think he, you know, he proved that again. He just grinds it out.
Well, I think one of the biggest storylines that we need to pay attention to now that Mark Pope is gone, is the hiring process for BYU to find their next head coach and their next staff. You've been through that hiring process at BYU. How difficult is it? And how emergent is the need for BYU to find their guy and get him signed as quickly as possible?
Well, I think it's important. I mean, it's almost like John Wooden used to say, you got to be fast, but don't hurry. You know, I think they can't skip steps. The one good thing is that we're only a couple of years apart from the last coaching search, and a lot of the same characters, usual suspects, I should say, you know, their names will come up. The nice thing is in the last few years, they've all
been in touch. You know, there were a handful of guys that interviewed that will be involved again, I imagine. And so there's a familiarity at least with guys. And so I think that should hopefully speed up the process. But, you know, I will say this, and Hans, you know it too, you were there, but nothing happens fast at BYU. It's just, you know, there's a lot of layers you got to go through to get things approved, and it's not a dig or anything. It's just the truth, and things take time. So we'll see. I mean, when we're trying to get a camp coach hired, you know, we were on pins and needles trying to make sure we could get a guy to help us work for a week at camp because they got to go through a rigorous process even for that. So it's definitely unique there, but the one thing you can count on, Tom Homo's as good as there is in the game. Just look at his track record and the hires he's made. Brian Santiago's been there forever and is kind of, you know, has a stewardship of basketball, and he's so connected to the basketball community. And then, you know, the alumni is ever present, and there's a lot of people that want to see BYU continue to do great things.
Do you feel like the BYU as an institution, do you feel like it really does limit their coaching pool? And just how much does it limit their coaching pool, in your opinion?
Well, if they took, you know, if they were able to take coaches from stake, you know, stake championships, that's with a K. I mean, you'd have a much bigger pool. And believe me, I used to get emails from guys, you know, telling me how we should do stuff. So I know there's a lot of new people out there. Feel like they're qualified, but you know, the caveat you speak of is the religious component, and you know, it's never been a thing that they've not done. So while it's not necessarily written down in stone, I think it's something that has always been the case, and those things tend to kind of stay the same there. So I would say that in order to, you know, be the head coach, you've got to be a, you know, you got to be really involved in the church, and you got to be doing your part.
If you were Tom Homo, give me the name of four or five calls you'd be making right now.
Well, yeah, I don't want you to get me in trouble, okay? Because I know so many people, and if I leave particularly one of these stakes with a K, champions off the list, they may be upset with me. But I think it's well known. Mark Madsen's name, you know, was thrown out early. I think you look at guys that have had head coaching experience. Mark's one, and he's done an awesome job at UVU, you know, winning the league twice and then going on to Cal, and they won, you know, 15 more games, I think, this year than last year after Mark Fox left. And so I think that could be, you know, Mark Madsen is the guy that I think everybody's mind went to, and then early this morning he sent a tweet out just saying, hey, I love Cal, and I love it here. I've learned also that his buyout was very large. and the other thing that you can count on is that would be a prohibitive cost to the church. You know, I don't know that they would do that. Then beyond that, I think you've got, if you look at who's been head coach before at the Division I level, a guy named Barrett Perry, who's currently now at UNLV. His unbelievable history in basketball, has been just about everywhere, has moved a million times, it seems, to really get the best opportunities. He was the head coach at a powerhouse junior college, Indian Hills. He's been, you know, 5-7 different places as assistant. And then he was the head coach at Portland State and did a nice job. We actually played Barrett when I was there, when he was at Portland State, and his teams played ferociously hard and did a nice job. And he's really connected in the basketball world. So I think those two guys with experience, and then obviously, Chris Burgess, who is beloved by everybody that knows him, just an incredible guy that's got a really bright future in this game and was instrumental in, you know, a lot of the good things that happened at BYU with Pope, and then went to Utah and has done a nice job up there. And then, you know, the other guy I would throw probably at it is Quincy Lewis, who, you know, was an assistant while I was there. He's been a high school coach. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame where he won the Naismith Award, I should say, for Coach of the Year. And so I think that, you know, he's a guy that would definitely be somebody that would be talked to, because I think that was the list that was kind of prevalent last time. And outside of that, you know, I think Hans Olsen, you might have if you can clean up your language a bit, you might have a shot.
I'm going to have to clean up my language and shave off my goatee that I've currently got rocking.
No, that seems to be in vogue there now. I think you can do that now.
Oh, a little facial hair is not too bad, huh?
I don't think guys getting clipped for it. I think you should try if you do get the job.
So one of the guys I put high on my list, and I it might be a complete impossibility but I'd really love to see it, is Alex Jensen. Would he have any interest in coming into the college world, leaving the Dallas Mavericks? I know that always sounds like a crazy thing, but BYU is in such a pinch. They need such great basketball and great coaching that they might need to pony up the money and see what they can do with a big splash hire like that.
Well, there are two guys in the NBA that I didn't mention and it should have. I don't, because I think, you know, I just know the NBA mentality. I know how hard guys work to get there. The two guys that I would mention are Alex Jensen and Kevin Young. Alex is, of course, with the Mavericks after a long run with the Jazz, played at the University of Utah, and is just a phenomenal guy and great coach. He was actually he was the coach of the year in the G League when he coached in Cleveland.
That's right.
So really, really well-respected guy. And then Kevin Young, who's at Phoenix, you know, one of the higher paid assistants in the NBA. You know, the interesting thing is pay is probably not as big a drawback at BYU anymore because of the move to the Big 12. But I still believe that, you know, you're talking about two guys who are in the midst of, will be in the midst of a playoffs coming up. And I just don't know timeline wise if it works. I love those guys and you know, I think they'd be terrific. The one thing to consider, college basketball is almost moving more to like the pro model where, you know, your team's going to be vastly different every year. You can move off guys, they can move off you. Perhaps the recruiting piece, if you've got NIL money, isn't, you know, to have that gregarious connected recruiter may not be as important. If you've got the money, you can, you know, and you've got a guy that can really coach, maybe that's, you know, a unique thing. So certainly wouldn't rule those guys out. But I know that NBA thing at this point, and you spoke to it, they got to move pretty quickly, may be prohibitive.
Coach Tim McComb hanging out with us, former BYU assistant, current pre-half and post-analyst for the Utah Jazz. Nobody knows it better. Nobody does it better. How worried are you about the talent? You saw Dallin Hall jumped into the transfer portal. How worried would you be about talent purging off of that roster? And how much does that weigh on maybe Tom Homo and Santiago as they're trying to make these hires and decisions?
Well, I can guarantee you there's communication. And I think in this day and age, I think that's what a player starts to do just to protect themselves. I mean, that's the first step. They certainly signed on to play for Coach Pope, and you know, him not being here certainly perhaps gives them an opportunity to look around. It's the landscape anymore. I mean, I talked to Randy Bennett for a long time the other day about just the state of college basketball, you know, and he said that, you know, there's enough guys in the portal that's really, it would equate to five guys from each team in the portal. And so I just think that that's the nature of the game now. And so whether a coach leaves or not, I think you're going to deal with it. The key here, and I'm sure, again, BYU's out in front of it, is just communication as to the process and communication as to, you know, answering any questions these guys have, certainly being there for them. And then most importantly, just as quickly as you can get somebody in charge.
Yeah, because you also have portal guys you're trying to bring in. And that's important too, because you've got a couple of big names that you were, one in particular that you were able to land. And I always wonder, you know, when a place like Kentucky makes a move on Coach Pope in the world of transfer portals and collectives, if they say, hey, you know, what guys can you bring with you? What guys do you think would be interested in coming? If one or the other fits. And one of my biggest worries now, Coach, is with this portal and free transfers anytime, is that a coach can leave and take guys with him. Is that a concern of maybe a new boss? And is that something that would play into Tom Homo's hire? Like looking at a coach like, oh, yeah, he could come from UNLV, talking about Barrett Peary, and he could bring maybe one or two guys. Does that play into this?
I mean, it can, because I guarantee you the nature of the game, X's and O's are really important, but nothing's more important than Jimmy's and Joe's. And you got to have players, and you got to know where you're going to get them, and you got to be able to to fish in a lot of different ponds. And so I think it's a, you know, it's an interesting time. You're exactly right with no leader. I mean, you can have guys recruiting in the portal, but to who and for what, and, you know, it just doesn't have a whole lot to it. So you're right. You got to get somebody in charge. But I do think there's a component. I don't worry about that as much with Mark going to Kentucky. I mean, I think at Kentucky he's going to have access to, you know, Burger Boys. And these guys, you know, while good players, maybe just Chick-fil-A here. Yeah. So if you follow my drift.
I follow your drift. Yep. Is there any way that Coach Rose would come out of retirement and you'd go back to BYU and you guys could partner up in Big 12 crime?
When I start getting close to the campus, there's an alert system that goes off and should lacoma is prevalent. Be aware. No, I would not bet any money on that one, bro. I talked to Coach late last night on my way home from the Jazz game, and you know, we were just excited for Mark and knowing full well how excited he is. I haven't been able to chat with him, but I can't imagine he's over the moon. And then just talking about the program, you know, talking about what's next and some of the names we talked about here. And the bottom line is, you know, I think Coach is a guy. I'm the guy. We'll jump in behind whoever's there. I'm, you know, excited to see the next chapter of BYU basketball.
Well, Coach, as always, we appreciate it. Jazz shook it off last night. They got off the losing streak. Yeah. Yeah, respectable. Tell me a little bit about Kenny Lofton.
Dude, I love Kenny Lofton. I think I might start a fan club here in the offseason. He reminds me a little bit of you. You know, you got a big old caboose, and he moves people around, and his ability to score the basketball is a thing of beauty, but it's some of the other things. He's got a great basketball IQ. He was effective on the glass, had 4 or 5 assists last night, so just a guy that can do a little bit of everything. And, you know he scored 52 in a game with our G League squad. So I just think he's an intriguing guy, particularly in the nature of the NBA right now. I mean, perhaps a guy that could play a rotation as a very small ball five, a la like Charles Barkley. So a lot of different ways you could use him. But I really like that he's here, and I think he's got a ton of talent. I'm excited to see what happens with him.
Well, if you start that fan club, let me know, and you and I will get together and eat meatloaf in his name and maybe put together a potluck where everybody brings in their favorite meatloaf recipe, and we just have a meatloaf
party. Is that his nickname for you now, meatloaf?
The meatloaf's that's my go-to.
That might be it. I think we just gave him a name.
It's Meatloaf Lofton, man.
I like Meatloaf Kenny.
It feels more gangster. Like it feels Meatloaf like old school Meatloaf Kenny. All right. Well, I appreciate you, Coach.
Hey, love you, buddy.
I'm sorry
that you're having to do all this by yourself today. It'd be nice if your partner was a little more loyal to the working hours.
Oh boy, you and me both.
Loyalty in this business.
At least you didn't have to drive to Logan.
Yeah. Yeah, which is becoming a common occurrence. It feels like we've got a Utah State broadcast every other day, too. So,
hey, Lloyd.
Yeah, bud.
I worked with the head coach of Kentucky.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, will you honk for me? I worked for the head coach. Yeah, there you go. This is another honk I can throw out there.
Got to get back on that honking game.
Okay, I love you, boys. Have a great afternoon.
You're the best, Coach. Thanks. There you go, Tim McComb. Great insight right there on the BYU basketball coaching situation. Mark Pope taking the job at Kentucky, and BYU opening up that search. Sooner the better. Better wrap that thing up pretty quick. Hall entering into the transfer
portal. Yeah, did you see? You mentioned Ali Khalifa. He's in the portal as well.
Ali Khalifa moving in there as well. So,
and that's got apparently a do not contact. So the feel is that probably headed to Kentucky.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And that'd be a really good fit for Coach Pope in Kentucky. You could see that one coming a mile away, Lloyd. Like Khalifa with a year and getting paid and some extra money and moving into a big-time program and Pope feeling comfortable with him. You know, the worry is, do you see Robinson jump in? Because Robinson's another guy that would translate really well to Kentucky.
I think Mark Durant said it best earlier. Like, you saw Utah State do it this year where they had to completely rebuild, completely overhaul. So it's doable, but BYU really, I mean, it's a bummer for BYU fans because they really had something going this year at a really good team. And to see it kind of maybe possibly dismantled a little bit is, but it can be done. It can be rebuilt.
Yeah, let's get it done. Speaking of getting it done, we'll come back. We'll wrap things up here at Tim Daly Mazda in Southtown and get you set and ready for the weekend. That's all coming up next.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present...
This is JJ and Alex.
Stevenson Sylvester in the house.
I've loved hockey ever since Happy Gilmore. I'm a big Happy... Because in my household growing up, we watch movies over and over and over again. Right? And so the opening part of Happy Gilmore, where he's just...
Unbelievable, yes.
When he gets into the batting cages, yes. And he's like, Chubbs is like, what are you doing? Only 364 more days till the next hockey tryout. Gotta toughen up. I've loved hockey since then.
Catch JJ and Alex afternoons from 3 to 6. Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them see we're crazy. I don't care about that. Put your hand in my hand, baby. Don't ever look back. Let the world around us just fall apart. Maybe we can make it if we're heart to heart.
One of the crazier weeks we've had in sports radio here in the state of Utah with the NHL news and everything that's surrounded that has been a hot button topic, and we are going to continue to pursue it. Stay right on top of it here with the Hans and Scotty Show. So having the best guests, the most insight, and trying to keep you all up to date. All signs are pointing to the announcement coming down next Thursday that Ryan Smith and the Smith Entertainment Group has in fact landed the ownership of an NHL team that will be here in the state of Utah. Every name that I trust out there continues to tweet it. And that date, the 18th, continues to ring loud. So that's what we're looking for. By the way, make sure that you're hanging with us next week. Ethan Millard and Deton Wealth will be live in studio with me and Scotty to help you with your retirement plan. That's coming up next Monday. So Ethan Millard, we appreciate him, and he'll be hanging out with us, and we'll get you caught up with all those things, as well as keeping you up to date with the NHL and its progress, as well as keeping you up to date with BYU and its basketball coaching search and everything that's happening in the portal. As Lloyd just mentioned, another BYU basketball player, Ali Khalifa, has jumped into the transfer portal along with Dallin Hall, and it just keeps tumbling, and hopefully they can get a grip on that before it gets too far out of control. We've been live at Tim Daly Mazda here in Southtown, hanging with my good friend Jake. $2,000 on top of a trade-in.
Yes, sir.
$2,000 off a new car.
That's right.
And a full tank of gas.
And a full tank of gas.
As you drive off.
And a lifetime warranty.
Did I go too far?
And a lifetime warranty.
At least a half tank. And a lifetime. And a free lifetime.
Oh, every new car, full tank of gas, for sure.
I
there's no question. How about the Yetis? Do you like that name, the Yetis?
I do. I don't mind the Yetis. I've got my favorites. I like the Seagulls and calling them the Gulls.
The Gulls.
I like the Pioneers. I like there's a lot.
So you want to call them the California Gulls, essentially?
No, I don't want to call
them. Cuz that's what the bird is.
I want to call them the Salt Lake City Gulls, the Utah Gulls.
Okay.
What's your favorite, Jake?
I don't know. I like the, I just like the fact of NHL. I'm going to be there all the time, so That sounds like fun.
Isn't that awesome, man?
It's super cool. It's time that this state starts to get all these major league teams, and you know the fan bases here are crazy, and I think it's going to be huge.
Well, we need everybody to show up too. That's the other big thing. It's like when this announcement goes down, and we have an opportunity to show up. Let's show up. I'll be there with the media badge, and I want people there supporting it and cheering. And we just need to show that excitement, because who knows? 10 years down the line, I've had a lot of people say, "Oh, it'll never be possible." The NFL could expand.
Oh yeah,
they could expand, and if we're showing great success with NHL and NBA and
possible MLB,
and we've housed them, and Major League Baseball comes along. And
how do you not get the NFL?
Come
at that
on,
point?
At some point, you know, I look at some of the markets that have the Big Four, and it's like this market cares.
Oh, for sure.
The sports like is I said, the world here.
Yeah, the fan base of Utah is second to none. And it's awesome to watch, because it's going to be fun.
Well, in the meantime, we need people out in these Mazdas.
Yeah, in the meantime, I need you people to come down and support Mazda.
Just come buy a Mazda. It sounds like people are starting to pick up on it.
Oh, yeah, for sure they are.
They're starting to find out that the Mazda is the real deal.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, here's the thing is the quality and the ride and the dependability and what Mazda brings to the table is something that's second to none. You know, I've worked for other manufacturers. I've been in the business for over 20 years, and I can guarantee you that Mazda has been the top of any manufacturer that I've worked for, any car that and to be honest with you, at first when I took the store, I was like, Mazda. And I couldn't tell anybody that was driving a Mazda. And now it's crazy to watch the transformation of all my loyal client base that's come in and buy a Mazda, and how much they love the Mazda compared to everything else as well. But come down, come check us out, come drive this car. It's a nice weekend, come down this evening, come down tomorrow, like $2,000 in additional off of any new car, and $2,000 above market value on any trade-in as well, stackable. So come down and see us. Why not?
$2,000 on both ends, the trade-in and the buy. You can't beat that. You can't beat the location, the Southtown Auto Mall. Y'all know this big area, and you're going to find that Tim Daly promise on every vehicle that comes with the forever warranty. Jake, thanks for another great day,
brother.
Hey,
appreciate you guys.
Big thanks to Tim Daly, Mazda, and a big thanks to our guest list. It was crazy. Mark Durant, Jay Stevens, Bob Casper, Will Snowden, Kurt Heelan, Tim Lacombe. Big thanks to all of them for filling in and bringing great information right here to the Hanson Scotty Show. We'll see you on Monday night.
Way to go, Lloyd. Great work.
Well, you said it. Now I don't
Good
need
job,
to.
Lloyd. Excellent job. Way to do it.
When you're patting your own back, you don't need somebody else
well,
to do it.
Well, if I don't have a guy that'll pat my back, then I have to do it myself.
Well, you know I love you, and you know I respect you. And that's never been a mistaken. So we all know that.
Have a good weekend, buddy.
You too. Be safe, and we'll see you back on here on a Monday, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.